Yes, one of your rhinos is our very own governor. I mean, that's my guess.
No, the senator is Todd Young. I think he definitely needs to go. And I see that Dan is here, and I want to give Dan, I've never met Dan before. I've listened to his show. I think he does amazing work. And if his guest is who I think it is, I am jealous of all content right now, because I've been trying, and I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I was hoping Dan was listening, cause I got no response whatsoever, but then now I see it. I've been trying like the Dickens to get a hold of that individual. And apparently, Dan has connections in high places, unlike myself, where I'm like Garth Brooks. I have friends in low places, because I've been trying to connect with that lady right there for a long time. And, apparently I was shooting blanks. So,
well, Derek, maybe Dan, would get you guys to meet up, because yes, he gets guests on there that I would like to have at some point. So, and that does take us to the top of the hour, and wait till you see who this guest is, because I'm looking too. I'm a little jealous myself. Oh my goodness. So I'm going to forego our closers just so they can start up on their show, because we went over just a tad. In the meantime, I'll drop the links in there. Check us out. We love you guys. We appreciate it. We will be sitting here in the wings watching on the program. Check out the next show coming up. It's called Connecting the Dots with Dan. Dan, I'm so glad to see you all are on, and I hope you have a wonderful show, my friend.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you, Derek. I'll make sure that you're happy with my guests today.
All right, here's the show opener.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
God bless the USA.
God bless the USA.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say.
Well, Thumper, it doesn't matter how many times I see that. It always sends chills up my back to watch that video. That is fantastic.
It's definitely inspiring.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, inspiring today is going to be our program and who we've got for a guest today. Our program today is Killing the Messenger, How the Left Destroys Whistleblowers. And my guest today is Melissa Carone. She is a young lady who testified before the Michigan legislature about the irregularities that she saw as a IT professional working with Dominion Software in the Michigan election process. And I think, Thumper, do we have the video of her testimony anywhere close?
You know what? I think I may know where I can find it. Just give me a few moments, and I think.
Okay. Okay. Well, with that, I Melissa, welcome to the program. I have to tell you, your testimony was inspiring. I'm tickled to death to have you on as a guest.
Thank you, Dan.
So you know, we're going to have Mary Fanning and Alan Jones are going to be on with us on Tuesday.
Okay.
And next Sunday, we're going to have Terry Turchi is going to be on. So we're loading this this agenda up with people who were there. They saw what happened. And your testimony and your situation is absolutely paramount to what we're trying to do today. And that is show the case for the stolen election.
That's right.
I think the evidence is there, and you're going to be a great part of telling us about that whole process.
Yes, yes. And thank you for having me on.
Well, we always appreciate truth seekers around here, and that's what Patriot Soapbox is all about. We've had some issues with censorship ourselves, and I went through some of the videos and read some of the articles that have been written about you. And I mean, these people are absolutely merciless, and they're absolutely diabolical. I mean, the things that they
are.
Say it's incredible. And I did see that we've got it up. At some point we may show it, that Saturday Night Live clip about you and Rudy Giuliani. And I mean, it's atrocious, the stuff that they do.
It is. It's very upsetting. It's just terrible, because, you know, the reason why they're doing it is so other whistleblowers don't come forward, and they want people to be scared. And I do believe that it has worked. It's worked, you know. Mm-hmm. people are terrified, and the position they've put me in, you know, I've said this several times, it's been terrible. I cannot find a regular job. I haven't been able to find a regular job since the election. You know, it's almost like they've cut off my resources for everything.
Well, they have a lot of power, Melissa, but we have a lot of power behind us with the truth.
That's right.
You know, that's what these programs are all about. And the sooner that America wakes up to the reality of just how far we've gone down the wrong direction, the wrong road, is been said before. We had a choice between two routes, and right now we're heading down the wrong one, and we need to turn around and head back.
That's right.
The only way that's going to happen is with truth seekers and whistleblowers like yourself. So thank God you're here, and thank God that we can provide you with a forum that people can hear your message. So we will show that clip, and Thumper, just let me know when it's available. But we have an option here of playing the clip first and having your rebuttals and your talk about how the whole thing happened and how it all went about. But we can do that. We can do that first and have you talk a little bit about your experience. You worked with Dominion Software You were one of their IT people that they hired as a temporary to help with that process. You had an opportunity to meet one of the founders and one of the major stockholders of Dominion. And I think that same gentleman, even though I don't have the clip of it, I've seen that same gentleman talk on Facebook to his followers and say that there was no way that Donald Trump would ever win this election, and allude to the fact that they had already rigged the system at point.
That's right. Yes. Yep. So he was working at the TCF Center. You know, I won't say his name. It is in my affidavit, his full name. As I was working, you know, I worked a 27-hour shift. A girl named Danielle, that is also a permanent employee with Dominion, we were the only two women, so we were talking. As the night went on, she was telling me a little more about this specific person, and she did say, yes, he is a part owner. Also, a couple times through the night, the CEO that testified in front of the Michigan Senate and lied about everything he said was calling him. And every time he would call my manager, that is a part owner, this Danielle would say, oh, he's on the phone with the CEO of Dominion. And, you know, I remember these specific things that would happen throughout the night. But, yes, he was there the whole time. And he's a very big person up in Dominion, and he did not leave the TCF Center. He did not leave.
Well, that is a kind of an interesting process that you went through. And Thumper, it sounds like you've got the clip with Melissa's testimony before the state legislature. Let's go ahead and play that clip if we've got it.
Okay. Well, I've got Lou's. That's the one with Lou, right? Or is it the Saturday Night Live?
No, it's not Saturday Night Live. It's a clip that I sent over with Melissa's testimony on it. I think it was the last one I sent you.
So that one will be the one with Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
Okay. I got to find out. I found I've got the one with Lou Dobbs, and I've got the Saturday Night Live one.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got the last one that I sent you has got her actual testimony, Thumper, before the Michigan State Legislature.
It's kind of difficult to find because a lot of people have gotten a hold of it and cut it and, you know, made jokes out of it. So finding the original one, but I did send it. I did send it, the original one.
Yeah. And I've got it. I actually pulled it off of the, I pulled it off the site that I had up last week, and we were talking about this last week in another context. So,
okay. I've got it.
Got it. Okay.
It's an 18-minute segment.
Yep.
Okay. Got it here. Okay. Just a second here. Let me get this framed up correctly.
Welcome to the Senate Oversight Committee.
Hi,
you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. IT and cybersecurity. I was contracted by PDS staffing to work with Dominion Voting Systems, assisting with IT at the TCF Center.
Thumper, can we pull up the audio on that a little bit?
On November.
Trying to see if I can get that audio to come up a little higher.
5 a.m. on November 4th. I returned to work at 10 a.m. November 4th and worked until 2 p.m. November 4th. I was initially supposed to return back to work around 4, but I was told via text through one of the other Dominion workers named Samuel that I wasn't needed, that they were almost finished counting. I wasn't going to mention this, being that it has been mentioned numerous times. I was initially supposed to be working. I was initially supposed to be working at the Department of Elections. That was an order from Dominion Voting Systems. They told me that I would be parking in a parking lot and I would be shuttled in through a shuttle. I called my mother and I told my mother about this, and my mom said, no, absolutely not, you're not doing that. I also had a concern about that because I do have two small young children at home and I needed access to my vehicle. What I witnessed at the TCF center was complete fraud. The whole 27 hours I was there, there was batches of ballots being ran through the tabulating machines numerous times, being counted 8 to 10 times. I watched this with my own eyes. I was there to assist with IT. These people on night shift, I had 4 people on night shift that I've known, one of them I've known for over 20 years. He approached me and said he had absolutely zero training whatsoever, contradicting 100% what Daniel Baxter claims, that they had so much training. He said they had zero. I watched, these people had no idea what they were doing. Okay. Also, the adjudication process, I witnessed numerous people walking up claiming they were both Democrats, saying they were sitting together, judging ballots all day together. I witnessed it all. I was on the main stage with all of the city officials. Daniel Baxter was in on the whole thing, and I am under the impression 100% that at least 90% of those workers were all in on this. There was not a single ballot the whole night, the whole 27 hours I was there, that I saw that was for Donald Trump, not one. Not a single ballot. That is scary. There is no reason for that. Also, I'm gonna say that there was something going on at that Department of Elections, and it's clearly something that's very illegal that occurred there. And I am grateful to God that I did not go there.
Thank you. So. Vice Chair Lucido has a question.
Sure. You were employed by whom to do what?
Okay, so I am a freelance IT worker.
Okay.
I was employed by PDS, P as in Paul, D as in David, S as in Sam, staffing, to assist with IT work for Dominion.
The software CCF, company.
Dominion Voting Systems, correct. I was with Nick Autonomagus. He's my manager.
I apologize, but this is very, why did they feel that they needed to have assistance there for the software?
So a couple people have asked me the same question. I cannot answer that. These people were very secretive, and I will say that these people were very, very secretive and just really pushy. I never admit I was a Republican to these people. The comments that they were making were disgusting.
Regardless of Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, doesn't matter. I'm getting right to the heart of it. What was the instated purpose that the software company needed to have the assistance of support staff for IT?
I believe that it was because Nick and Samuel, that are permanent employees of Dominion, Nick is a part owner, that they had to be together on the stage working together. It looked like they had assistance with IT. Now, I was also not allowed to wear a badge or tell anybody who I was working with.
That's fine. So your opinion that it was them that needed to be there, you don't know anything if it was contractual, you don't know if there was anything that was going glitchy, which means that there was...
Oh, I know of a lot of stuff that...
But my question is, factually, which yes. means today, as you sit here, is there anything you can tell us
yes.
that was happening with the software where Nick and Samuel had to go assist mm-hmm, in this?
Absolutely.
What was that?
Okay, so Samuel was missing for about 3 hours. When he returned, I said, where were you? He said, I was at the warehouse. I said, where's this warehouse? And I said, is it an Amazon warehouse? I don't know. What kind of warehouse is it, right? And he said, we call it the Chicago warehouse. And I said, okay, so it's in Chicago, because they're from Colorado. I said, so it's in Chicago. And he said, no, Melissa, it's in Detroit. We call it the Chicago warehouse. I said, okay. And I just walked away. But there was something very secretive that he was doing. There was also a data, they said a big data loss right before they sent Samuel to this warehouse.
What time was that?
That was when Samuel went to the warehouse. That was approximately, it was in the afternoon. I believe it was around 2 or 3.
Is that on the 3rd or the 4th?
The 3rd.
Thank you. I'm okay. You have written testimony for the chair?
I have my second affidavit, and I have what I was speaking off of just now.
Could you send that to us, please?
Absolutely.
Include your phone number, if you could,
absolutely,
in case we have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Before you go, please.
Sure.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you testify about ballots being counted multiple times, mm-hmm, what are you basing that analysis that they were counted multiple times?
Okay. So, I'm sorry. So the tabulating machines, when a ballot jams, it puts up an error. It'll say discard or recount. So when it puts up that error, when a jam occurs, the correct way to go about it is to discard the whole batch, take the ones that have already been tabulated, put them back into a pile, put the one that jammed on top, and then discard it, discard the whole thing, and then rescan them. They were not discarding. So they were just rescanning, counting ballots 8 to 10 times, just recounting them. They had absolutely no idea what they were doing.
So you're saying that they were literally opening up the box, taking the ballots back out of the box, and then sending them through again?
No. They were just taking...
So I want to be clear
ballot,
on this.
Okay. So when a ballot was... When the error came up on the PC in front of them and it said that a jam occurred, I would go try, because it happened so many times in a 27-hour period. Each machine, it did it between 2 and 3 times an hour. So, because these were folded ballots, they're mail-in ballots. So when it occurred, that, and then it threw up the error, you know, discard, rescan, as I just stated, you are supposed to take the problem ballot that got jammed, put it on top of the whole pile, discard it, because that's why the option is there. If you do not discard it, it is recounting it. So they would take the ones that were, say ballot number 25 had an issue. You had already went through 24 ballots. So you're going to put them back all in a pile, and you're just going to rescan it. So it's counting those 24 again, instead of discarding those 24 and restarting.
Oh, but that, I mean, that's what I was trying to ask. I mean, so they're literally taking, you're
saying.
Did I
answer correctly?
You're saying that they're taking ballots that already went through the machine, taking them and scanning them a second time.
That's absolutely what I said, yes.
So help me understand, because I haven't worked in AV counting center. I've been to my precinct, and when our ballots go into the tabulator, there's no access to them after they're accepted. I mean, they go into a sealed box. There's
oh, no, these ones, no, I've heard that too from other states, that they do drop directly into a steel box. No, the steel boxes were behind them, which I could say a lot about that too, but I won't. But they were using those for barriers for the poll watchers so they couldn't get close, the steel boxes. But no, they were 100% in the counter's hands. This whole process, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. Nick and Samuel, that worked for Dominion, they were on the stage. They had a contract employee, me, and another one that was from Texas. I have his name right here, Miles Smiley, 90-year-old man there to assist with IT work. He did not have any kind of background in IT and worked in and lived in Tennessee. So this man was just walking around aimlessly. You know, I was really the only one running around like crazy helping these people.
Thank you for that clarification. I wasn't not aware that it.
No, and they were responsible.
The machines I've been exposed to don't work that same way. So I was just checking in on that. Senator Tice.
So I'm I'm trying to figure out the whole line of everything here. So you were with the equipment and the tabulators themselves?
Correct.
And they were going to send you to the Department of Elections?
Initially, that is where I was scheduled.
Tabulators at the Department of Elections?
That's what we're, that's the main question here, huh? Because I was trained on the tabulation and adjudication process. And how many people just came up before me stating that they saw people walking in and out of that Department of Elections with.
Okay.
As I stated, I was not supposed to even talk about this today, but I'm going to.
As they're scanning, they have a pile of them. They're putting them through a scanner, and the pile, once it's gone through the scanner, is still fully accessible to the person
Absolutely.
Who's doing the
count. Absolutely.
Okay.
50 times if they wanted to.
Any other members have a question? Senator Lucido?
Yeah, I
Senator,
this is interesting. You were trained to oversee tabulators. Is that what you told me?
I was trained to assist with IT.
In tabulators.
And the adjudication process, correct, sir.
Who trained you to use your technique on the tabulators as it relates?
Dominion.
Dominion did. Was it their representatives that came to the TCF Center?
It was the owner of Dominion, Nick Economagnus, that came to the TCF Center, which is insane because he's like the top of the top with Dominion, which is he's missing.
When did you meet with him at the TCF Center to get your training?
So my training was in Allen Park at the hotel they were staying at, right off of, it was November 2nd for 1 hour.
The day before the election.
November 2nd, correct.
The day before the election.
Yes, sir.
1 hour training, was it done by video or was it done with a tabulator?
It was done with a tabulating machine and an adjudication machine in a conference room. And all we did was walk around it and nothing. We were given a binder, I have it right here, from Dominion about all their image cast, about how their software works. I have every Dominion employee here. I have the ones that were at.
How many were with
the
you
warehouse.
In this? Who, how many?
Five were, total.
Five total.
Two contract employees, three permanent employees of Dominion. Let me just say this. There was one permanent employee of Dominion. She went by the name of Danielle. Her real name was China, which she told me later. She's the one who told me Nick was a part owner, which was confirmed later on. She was acting very bizarre the whole night, would start crying, would start saying she couldn't handle being there. Okay. I saw the van come in at 4:30 full of ballots. That she left an hour before that, had someone pick her up.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we get her testimony, I would be intrigued to look at whatever you have.
Absolutely.
Through the chair.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Hold
on. I have another question for you, ma'am. Please. Vice Chair Irwin has a question. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. If I were to take a ballot, an absentee ballot, and I were to run that through a machine multiple times, and that ballot were to be counted multiple times, is that machine going to reflect those votes in the vote total at the end of the day? And is that ballot going to be recorded in the poll book eight times or something? I mean, what's the...
Why do you think the poll books were so off?
Well, they were off a little bit less than they were in previous elections. So unless your allegation is that...
They were off 100%.
Excuse me, members of the audience. Please respect the
Sorry, I mean, you asked me a question.
And,
what do you expect the answer
excuse
to
I was hoping for an answer, but I don't think I'm going to get one.
Excuse me. I couldn't hear what was going on because too many people talking over each other. So if you could please, Mr. Sure. Vice Chair, finish your line of questioning, I'd like to hear the end of it, please.
That was the end of it. There was just one question, which was that, you know, if this were to happen, it would show up in the tabulations being off. And we know...
They were
Do
off.
We know to what extent that they're off?
They were off.
Right. Yeah, we know that.
So why are you asking? What are you asking me?
I'm trying to ask you if
Sir,
someone were to
go ahead.
If someone were to go and run the same ballot over and over and over again, that would end up showing up as a massive discrepancy, right?
Did and I we've, say and we've added up the discrepancies. Somebody took a ballot and ran it over and over and over again? You just did. One ballot or a batch of 50?
Either way. I mean, the batch right. of 50 is going to be even more.
If you take one and you run it over and over and over again, yeah, people are going to notice that one has been ran over and over. I had numerous right. challengers come up to me and say, what's going on here? One guy got thrown out because he right. took a picture of me.
Sure. I'm just wondering why the numbers at the end of the day aren't matching up with the stories that we're hearing. I'm trying to square that circle. And I know there's going to be an investigation of all of these allegations.
As good as everybody else is in here.
Yeah, there's going to be an investigation.
Why isn't it matching up?
We're going to look into all these details.
It's not matching up. Everything that happened at that TCF center was fraud. Every single thing. Every avenue was taken to commit it.
Please appreciate your passion, but he feels his question was answered. Appreciate that. I do have one additional follow-up.
Sure.
You mentioned observing ballots arriving late. Do you have knowledge of where they came from?
I cannot say that for 100%. I do not know 100%.
Okay.
Do I assume where they came from? Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Senator McDonald, thank you.
I'll be brief. Your testimony was very compelling. So I just want to go back to what I asked Senator Kaulbach. Where is the Department of Justice in this? I mean, without arresting it, I mean, are they even looking into it? I mean, your testimony is unbelievably compelling. So I'm just wondering, where are they?
Okay. Your question is as good as mine. I did call the FBI on November 5th, and I spoke with a woman for at least 40 minutes. The phone disconnected. She had all my information. She never called me back. I had to call them back. I haven't been contacted back since.
Well, you would think that. Did you contact anybody from the Trump campaign?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't they have a pipeline to the Department of Justice? Well, I mean,
I've been talking to attorneys. What I said just now regarding the Department of Elections and how I was scheduled to work there, that is coming out. That is coming out. That will be coming out next week. There's a lot coming. I was not even supposed to talk about that, but there, a lot of people mentioned it. So you know what? I'm going to tell you guys about it because this is fraud.
Okay.
And there was fraudulent activity occurring there.
Thank you. Your testimony was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, ma'am, for being here. Next, we have James Danley.
Okay, Melissa, your testimony was compelling. I'm sorry that the sound was a little bit low on that, but I think everybody could hear it. But one of the things that came out of all this is the obviously the recounting over and over and over again of the same ballots, and I don't want to cover the same ground too many times, but it's obvious that was very, very compelling. It's a large part of your testimony, was that they kept rescanning and recounting ballots. You observed that how many different times? It literally went on all night?
Oh, it went on for 27 hours. These machines would jam between 2 to 3 times in an hour. There was 22 to 24 tabulators. I estimated, when Rudy Giuliani asked me in the court case, I estimated around 30,000. You know, just going off of how many times these machines would jam and watching how long that these workers had these batches of ballots, and I watched it all night long. I all night long, and nobody was doing anything about it. Nobody did anything about it. This TCF center was a chaotic mess. When I say that, and when I said in my testimony that these people were all in on this, they were all in on it. And I know they were, because not one time in the 27 hours I was working, did I hear one worker, ask who was ahead in the election. Nothing to do with it. And these are all people that are already committing fraud, that are already doing things illegal. So if you're not supposed to talk about who's ahead and you're working in an accounting center, these people would be the first ones to be talking about what they shouldn't have been talking about. But they weren't. They all knew. And now they have video footage Detroit finally just released the video footage of the TCF garage where the van pulled in full of ballots. I don't know if you saw that, but we finally got the video evidence of it. People carrying ballots out of this van, you know, at 4:30 a.m. I mean, this is just, this is a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And, you know, for what happened in this election, you know, if we don't put an end to these machines and being in our elections, we are never going to have a fair election again. This, they have to go. They have to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, as a matter of fact, I've been talking about this for, I'm going to say about 28 years. I read a book in 1992, and I watched the testimony of a gentleman who wrote the software for the voting, the first nationwide computer voting. And he testified before the U.S. Senate that if they ever adopted a fully computerized voting system, that it would totally destroy any honesty, any integrity in elections. Right. And that was right. 28 years ago, 29 years ago now.
Yeah, you know, Dan, because it's human nature. It's human nature. So a human has to program these machines. So when a human programs them, it is human nature to do this kind of stuff. You know, that's why we don't have, that's why we need to get rid of them, because they can program these machines to do anything that they want. It's a proven fact now with the documentary that we came out with Mike Lindell, that these machines were dropping votes for Trump as they were giving votes to Biden. So 0.5 was being dropped for Trump as Biden would get, they would give Biden 3. So it wasn't one person, one vote. It was one person voting, then Biden getting extra votes, Trump dropping votes. Then they brought in vans full of ballots, and other states they did, you know, totally different with suitcases full of ballots, you know, in every swing state it happened. Something like this happened to where they found out Trump was ahead way too, you know, 140,000 here in Michigan, and freaked out and sent Samuel to that Detroit Department of Elections, which they refer to as the Chicago warehouse. And then had him assist with filling these ballots out, straight Biden, and got him in and counted up, you know. And by that time I had already left, but then they started, you know, putting cardboard on the windows of the TCF center. I'm sure you've seen that. The videos are all over. Just, you know, this is, it's complete fraud. It's complete fraud. And this election, the stuff that went on in this election is disgraceful. It's disgraceful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's you've openly stated that you were a Trump supporter. But when you make these statements and everything that you've testified to, you've had to do under oath with the threat of prison time, perjury, all the That's things right. that they've tried to heap on you. And in spite of that, they call you a liar. But obviously, if in fact you weren't telling the truth, there's all sorts of penalties that are very, very serious if you're not telling the truth. So you don't have any reason not to tell the truth.
Well, absolutely not. You know, I have two young kids and a family. I have, you know, I had a career before all this with the election. You know, I mean, I have everything to lose. What kind of person in their right mind would do something like that? You know, what kind of person, for what reason would you do right. something like that? And then everything you say just is true and they have proof of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So no, I know they, and like I said, so they can say that there's been no proof. They can call me crazy. It's happened, you know, ever since I came out with all this, but the proof is we're getting the proof, just like we just got the videotapes of the vans. And, you know, how convenient of Detroit to just finally release that to us when we've been trying to get it for since the election. They wouldn't give it to us, but they finally did. And we have video proof of it. And now these people here on the far left and these Democrats are saying, all they're doing is carrying ballots out of that van. What's the problem with that? you know, okay, well, I told you that they were carrying ballots out of these vans, and these vans pulled up at 4:30 in the morning. And when I said it, everybody wanted to make a joke out of it and call me a liar. Well, now that we have the video footage, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter. I've learned throughout this whole process, I have learned so much about people and the way they treat others. And it is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable because I've never been that kind of a person to treat other people like that. And I would never call somebody a liar. You know, I honestly would not. I have people that message my social media that have seen just say that testimony or anything. People I don't even know saying, I mean, threatening my life. Mm-hmm. And it's been since I came out, it's been going on, you know, and especially, you know, after this documentary, it's been happening way more than it has since, you know, the election. But if these people are doing this, they're scared of you. They're mm-hmm. scared. And that is, you know, that's apparent, and that's no, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. And these people threaten you. And then they, you know, the thing that I'm concerned about now is it's like, you know, Biden's trying to label us all domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. And to have that on your record or be labeled that would be detrimental to your, you know, future, to anything and everything. And I'm almost scared to even say anything on social media and try to get people together to rally or do anything, because I feel like he's going to label us domestic terrorist or something.
Well, Melissa, part of the whole process of silencing whistleblowers, people like yourself, people like us at the Patriot Soapbox, is to try to label in such a derogatory way that they frighten people into silence. And that's why it's so important for people like you that have the backbone to stand up, to continue to tell the truth. And that's exactly why you're on today, is because people need to understand how awful it is to be a whistleblower because of the way they treat you, at the same time to give you the honor that you deserve for having stood up and done the right thing. And I this thing from Saturday Night Live, I think Thumper, let's get that one ready to play, because it points out very, very distinctly how they treat whistleblowers in the United States. If you don't happen to be on their line of thought, we would never treat people like this. Mm-mm. We would never go after the left and individually attack people the way they attack us. Mm-mm. And that's the difference between good, solid patriots and conservatives who may not like the system. They may not like the people, the program of the other side, but we don't attack individuals in a big way. And they do. No. That's the difference. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thumper, do we have that SNL video ready to show?
Yeah, Dan. Okay, because this is C-SPAN, we're going to have to stop it occasionally so that we don't get into any copyright issues here, okay?
Okay, well, this was... I think the one that I'm talking about is Saturday Night Live. I don't know if that's...
Well, this is the Saturday Night Live, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, well... They just start with this.
Yeah, they just starts with that very little.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like I said, for some reason, YouTube is not working very good on my computer right now. And it's not filling in. Every other website I got is working great. But YouTube, for some reason, is not wanting to play nice right now. So let me, there might be some sound issues. We'll see if we can get it to work right.
Okay. Well, Melissa, you can see that we have kind of the same problems. And obviously, when your name came up on my program today, I'm sure that had a little something to do with it. So.
Yeah.
Well, there's the bugs seem to crawl in you know, depending on the subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also that's indicative when the old saying goes, if you want to get rid of cockroaches, you just turn on the light.
That's right.
I hereby call this hearing of the Senate Oversight Committee to order. It is my honor and also one of the great horrors of my life to welcome President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you, Your Honor. It's great to be in a courtroom where I'm not the defendant.
This isn't a courtroom.
Honestly, I'm just happy to be indoors. Now, as my associate, Miss Ellis, and I will prove today, this election was stolen from the American people with a level of trickery not seen since Houdini. That wasn't me, that was you guys. But President Trump and I are gonna overturn these illegal votes, first in Michigan, then in Georgia, and then Massachusetts, and then north to Canada.
But isn't it...
Okay, we're going to have to stop it there for a couple of seconds for comment and everything just to...
Okay, sure. Well, I, you know, what I'm trying to show with this, and I think it's a very important thing to show, is the fact mm-hmm. that they make a parody. And it's one thing if it's just parody, but the insults are so obvious, and the lack of candor is so obvious by the way they treat everyone in this video.
You know, let me just say this, Dan. In this video, there's her name is Cynthia Johnson. She's the African American woman that's sitting up there. Mm-hmm. She has been in trouble several times on Twitter now because she has came out and directly threatened Trump supporters. And directly threatened their lives, saying that she's going to get a group of her, quote, soldiers to take care of Trump supporters. But in this, they make her look like the most normal one, which mm-hmm. is very strange, obviously, but that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of getting used to it, but at the same time, we need to stand up and make sure that we don't allow it to continue. Mm-hmm. Thumper, can we go ahead and start the next?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
True that all your lawsuits have been rejected because they're based on zero actual evidence?
Oh, you want evidence? Okay, well, today I have brought before you a dozen highly intelligent, barely intoxicated individuals who are all eyewitnesses. And after hearing their testimony, you're going to say, wow, Rudy was right, and he's getting smarter and more respected every day. That was her.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. In that,
yeah.
I grew up in the days when Saturday Night Live was actually funny.
Right. I did too. Yeah, I did too.
Yes.
This isn't even come close.
Yes. So I talk to Victoria Jackson regularly. She's great. She used to be on Saturday Night Live. And she's wonderful. She's a great woman, but she has showed me some of her Saturday Night Live scenes, and they used to be funny, like you said, mm-hmm. but they're not anymore.
Well, they were political parody. They weren't just absolute insults and derogatory things like they are now. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in about 20 years just because of that.
That's right. I haven't either. A couple people have told me right before this came out that they were thinking about putting me on it. And I never even watched. I didn't even watch it until maybe it was out a couple weeks. And people were talking about it more. I figured, oh, I guess I'll watch it. But I'm not.
Well, I think it definitely proves the point. Let's go ahead and keep rolling, Thumper.
All right. Here we go.
Mr. Giuliani, oh God, it's hitting us up here now. You may call your first witness.
All right, I would like to present someone who worked directly with Dominion Voting Systems, Miss Melissa Carone.
Thank you. I swear to tell my whole story and nothing but my story, so help me God.
Please tell us what exactly you witnessed with the Dominion machines.
Okay, we got to stop it there.
Mm-hmm. About every 27 seconds, we got to stop it.
Well, you know, we get a lot. We get censored a lot, Melissa. Tell us a little bit about you know, when you went into that hearing. Were the people who actually did the interview, the legislators that did the interview, how were they to work with? Were they pretty decent people mostly?
To be honest with you, no, they weren't. You know, now that I'm running for state rep, I've actually had to contact a few of them just to talk to them and let them know that I'm running. But before that, at the hearing, these people were awful. I mean, Democrats, Republicans, both of them, they were awful.
Well, we've experienced the establishment Republicans, and that's a kind term to use, but
yes,
the establishment Republicans are almost as bad as the Democrats, only maybe even worse in some ways, because they present themselves as being conservatives or being someone who believes in the Constitution, when in fact a lot of them go out of their way to avoid the Constitution.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was telling my campaign manager, I said, you know, because Trump refers to them as rhinos, you know, Republican in name only. I said, we need to start having people run and acting like Democrats, but being Republicans, we'll just call them dinos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Democrat in name only, right?
Yeah. We've actually done that in Montana. We had a couple of different instances where we did that and were successful. And it was, you know, it was a nice way to show the Democrats exactly how nasty that process is.
Yeah.
At the same time, they continue to fill the legislature with rhinos.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, Thumper, let's go ahead and continue with this.
All righty.
Excuse me. Maybe try losing the attitude first, just like you lost all those Trump ballots.
I don't handle ballots.
Yeah, exactly. So you wouldn't know, would you?
Please just talk.
You're going to regret saying that, because I personally saw hundreds, if not thousands, of dead people vote.
You saw them?
Yeah, basically, yes. I remember, because I was walking out and they were walking in. And then they gave their votes to Democrats, and then... You probably did something crazy with him, didn't you?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is something else. I watched it before we came on just to see the whole thing, and it's just ridiculous how they tried to portray you.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, actually, I had one of these legislators up here, a Republican, I won't say his name, but he went on his Facebook after this hearing, and he's the one who started the whole thing about me being drunk, saying that I was drunk. And he actually made a meme and said, put on it, I had three glasses of wine before the hearing today, or something along those lines. But that's what started the whole thing, was him. And it was, isn't that crazy? It was one of these guys. It's nuts. And he was a Republican, you know. It's just, to me, it's insane. And they don't know anything about what happened there. You know, I think that these people should have to be poll watchers. You know, they should know about how the election process works and how the counting of the ballots works. They should be aware of that. They should be educated in that. So when something happens, then they know about it, because I'll tell you right now, they didn't know anything about it. They did not know.
Well, not only didn't they know, but I'll be honest with you, Melissa, I think if they were poll watchers, that nothing would have changed, because a lot That's of these right. people are the reason we've got such a bad problem in our system right now in voting fraud. So Thumper, let's go ahead and continue.
I don't handle ballots, and I'm a Republican.
Then you're literally useless. You have no use. Did you check every poll? Did you talk to all the dead people?
We're state senators.
Excuse me. I have been threatened. My kids have been threatened. My kids have threatened me, and I've threatened them right back.
I'm sorry, but this testimony is full of lies.
I'm not lying. I signed it after David.
And after David?
Yeah, that's correct. David signed, and then I signed right after David.
Okay, Miss Malone, we're going.
Okay. Dan, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and kill this. It proves the point.
I agree.
it proves the point, but I've read so many different articles, Melissa, that have said that you're just totally not credible, that mm-hmm. you have all these mental issues and everything else. And I thought we used to protect whistleblowers. I thought we used to go out of our way to try to hear when people come forward with clear evidence of problems, no matter what they be, that we're there to protect the whistleblower so that we can find out the truth. Obviously, in America today, under the system we're in today, whistleblowers are being destroyed, literally.
They are. And, you know, I think that a lot of that had to do with the fact that the media has gotten their hands on my social media. And they figured out that I am a Trump supporter, and I feel like they used that to tie it into my testimony and say, oh, well, she must have been making this up because she's a Trump supporter, you know. But again, why would somebody do that? And how would somebody do that? And then just everything that they were saying just proven to be facts. You know, we have the video footage. We have videos of people, workers in different states, running these ballots through several times. We have these videos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, somebody would actually have to, there's no way you could lie about it because you wouldn't mm-hmm. even know what to say, you know, it's ridiculous. And what they've said about me and what they've put out there, you know, they're only putting that stuff out there because, number one, they try to discredit you as much as they possibly can. There was a judge in Michigan that threw out this case, the very first case in Michigan. And he read my testimony, my affidavit, after reading everybody else's. He read mine, and he saw that there were some differences in the affidavits. First off, my affidavit is going to be different because I was working with Dominion. I was on the stage with them. I overheard their conversations. I overheard the data loss that they said that they were having, which was never a data loss. It was when they actually found out that Trump was ahead 140,000 votes and sent Samuel to this Chicago warehouse. You know, they called it a data loss because that's what they felt like calling it. But so this judge, his name was Judge Kenny, he threw out this, you know, this comment about me saying that I'm not credible. And that has been used against me since mm-hmm. he did it in December or the beginning of December. And this guy has caused me so many issues because he didn't do his homework. You know, that's really what it is. He didn't bother to look that I was working with Dominion and that there was differences on our affidavits because I knew different things than other people knew. You know, he didn't bother to look. He just put that mm-hmm. comment out there, and it's been used ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done a good job of destroying the messenger quite a bit here recently, and the fact that they keep saying that there's no evidence of voter fraud. There's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of clear evidence, but the courts refused to accept the evidence or to review it. They've just out of hand said that they think it's out of their jurisdiction or they don't feel comfortable in dealing with this. And I think an awful lot of it has to do with the fact that they're afraid of the threats. They're afraid of being marginalized. They're afraid of being censored by social media. They're afraid of their families and themselves being attacked by groups like Antifa and BLM.
That's right. Well, on top of that, you have to remember, too, we have here in Michigan, we have three Democrat women running Michigan. We have Whitmer, we have Dana Nessel, and we have Joslyn Benson. And Dana Nessel and Joslyn Benson have been threatening these attorneys, saying that they're trying to take their licenses away. That Matt DiPernio that's doing Antrim County, that did the Antrim County, we all know that there was a 6,000 vote flip of 6,000 votes were taken and flipped from Trump to Biden. He had to investigate that, and that was done on the Dominion machines. And then Joslyn Benson has the nerve to come out and say that it was human error. That wasn't human error. That was machine error. The machines were programmed to do that. I guess it wasn't an error. It was actually what the machines are programmed to do. So instead of her telling the people, the American people, the truth, she lies and says that it was human error, so nothing gets blamed on these machines. So there's nobody looking into these machines. Well, she has threatened to take his, you know, license to practice law away. Rudy Giuliani has been threatened. Every attorney that has been working for the Trump campaign or even for election integrity, period, has been threatened. And it's just, it's not right. It's not right. This is America. These attorneys have the right to defend whoever they wanted to defend. You know, it's unbelievable to me that an attorney can defend a murderer, a pedophile, but they can't look into an election. Really?
Yeah, no, you're right. And I did see that instance where the Michigan Attorney General Nelson had threatened to disbar any, not just that one gentleman, but anybody who questioned, any attorney who questioned the election and the results of the election.
Yes, that they should be disbarred.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the antithesis of what our system of justice is supposed to be. And that is, we're supposed to want to hear everybody who has a legitimate argument and a legitimate case to bring before the American people. And we can't do that anymore.
No, we can't. And it's scary. It's very scary. Just the 2 weeks Biden has been in office, look at what he's done to our country. Mm-hmm. Just look at what he's done. He has gotten, we've hundreds and thousands of people are out jobs. And these people can't take care of their families now. And, you know, look at what he's doing with this abortion, this giving, letting, paying for the whole world to have abortion up to 1 minute before the child is born. This is disgusting. This is inhumane. It's evil. It's evil. And what these people are for and what they're doing is evil. They are not answering to anybody in America. They are answering to China. They are answering this. And that is who was directly involved in our elections. That is who chose our president. And everybody should be concerned about this. Everybody should be concerned, because this is not just a Republican issue. It's not just Republicans that have issues. Everybody's going to have issues now. Everybody is, because whoever they want to win, we have no more free and fair elections until these machines are out. You know, our kids are not going to have. And then we have these people even pushing to teach kindergarteners sexual education and these gender studies. It is despicable. It is disgusting. And the stuff that's going on in this country is terrible. It is terrible. And if people aren't concerned, I don't know what's going to make people concerned, because, you know, just like I was saying with this, this documentary, if this doesn't come out and this doesn't prove to people that there was fraud in this election, I don't know what will, because, you know, this is our last straw. It's our last straw, and we have to do something as Americans. We have to stand together and do something.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to do your part of that, too. And I know that there was $400 million that the Chinese, some Chinese investors put into Dominion and to the software companies. And that happened within, I think, less than a month or right at a month before the actual election. I mean, there's a lot of evidence of outside interference in this election. The fact that Dominion and some of the other software companies associated with Dominion came from Venezuela, and they actually were companies that were initiated originally to help Hugo Chavez win election in Venezuela. There's a lot of questions here. There's a lot of questions. And the thing is, it isn't, okay, we're not saying that this is absolute in any way. We're saying it bears investigation. It bears looking into, because there is obviously a series of things that have happened that would make the whole process questionable. And if they don't deal with it now, we'll never get another chance.
That's right. That's right. Never. We never will. And, you know, I will even say this. I believe that Whitmer here, our governor here in Michigan, I believe that she stole the election. I don't believe she should be in. And, you know, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for years. Look at what Facebook did with this election. Facebook has put millions of dollars into this election. Mm-hmm. Facebook sent out and registered people to vote. And that should never happen. That should never happen. That is a social media site. And we all know that that is a social media site that is fully, they are all the way to the left, as far as you can be, you know, and that they are swaying young minds. And this has been going on forever too. And it's big tech. Big tech has been swaying young minds forever. And you know, that's wrong. This is, it's everything that's going on right now is terrible. It's terrible.
Well, what they're doing is, and you mentioned Communist China. Communist China has been putting an incredible amount of money into the United States in companies that sell products, or companies that have software, companies who are involved in the whole social media process. They've put billions of dollars into those companies with the idea that when they do that, they have input, they have impact on the way those companies operate. They have CEOs, they have people who are on their, well, I hate to say it. I mean, this is kind of a generic term, but on their payroll, because they put enough money into the process, and they've done that now with not only social media, but our mainstream, or I call it downstream media, which a lot of them have a huge amount of financial impact from the Communist Chinese.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, the only one I watch anymore is One America News when I'm watching the news, because I know that they are actually giving us the news the correct way. And they haven't backed down to Dominion, you know. Newsmax retracted on all their statements. And what they did, I don't know if you saw what they did to Mike Lindell the other day when he brought up the Dominion machines, how they cut him off and shut off his microphone. That was terrible. That was embarrassing on their part to do to someone. You don't do that. And how the guy just got up and walked away. Unbelievable. I've never, to be honest with you, I knew Newsmax was a bad, I knew they were bad to begin with. And I knew that they were going to turn their backs. But we can't trust anybody. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Fox News is terrible too. They're worse than CNN, in my opinion.
Well, what's happening, Melissa, is the fact that they're exposing, they're showing their cards, they're exposing just how much control there is of our whole political system, our whole, really our whole economy, our banking system. I mean, yep. It's literally top to bottom now that's been controlled and manipulated by people who don't have freedom and liberty and the American Constitution at the center of their vision for the future. And we refer to so much of this as globalism, but that's absolutely what it is.
It definitely is.
Yeah, it's a move to a one world socialist, Marxist, technocratic government.
Absolutely, and, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, talk about...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, talk a little bit to our viewers, our listeners, about what you plan to do. I know you're running for the legislature. Now, talk a little bit about your plans to do that and what you see as a vision for America.
Yes, thank you. So I will. So I am running right now for state representative here in Michigan. And I'm running in District 46. It is a predominantly Republican district. It's about 60-40. I am running on election integrity. I want these Dominion machines, like I've stated, they have to go. They've got to go. We're not going to have any more free elections. We'll never have fair elections again with these Dominion machines. They decide the vote. They decide the vote. So we have to get rid of them. We have to go back to in-person voting. We need to get some voter ID. We need to get rid of these gender studies within our public school system. My kids don't go to public schools, but it does not matter. These children cannot be learning this. It is not okay. The sex education for these young children is not okay. They don't even understand that. I'm fully pro-life. You know, this abortion is out of control. It makes me sick. We cannot have this going on. Something has to be done. That is murder. That is murder. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing right about that. We need to start giving some other kind of help to women and giving them ways to adopt children and put their children up for adoption. There's so many families that want to adopt children and mm-hmm. They would love to have children and they can't, but they would love to adopt. And that's what we need to be doing because that's murder. Only God can take lives and make lives. And mm-hmm. That is not up to us to do. Another thing that I would like to get done is, I have a list. I'm so sorry. I can't.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Now, as far as the voting machines, I think most people in America understand that we had a strictly paper ballot system up until about 20 years ago, and we gradually started to shift into the computer voting, but it's also happened very much during the same time frame that we've seen a lot of questions in our whole election process. I don't think it's that big a deal to go back to paper ballots. I don't think it's that big a deal to go back to individual counting of ballots.
No.
What's your opinion on that?
That's exactly what we need to do. We need to go back to in-person voting, and we need to go back to hand counting these ballots. And it's not a big deal. It would be the same work that was put into this election. These people worked for days. It would be the same amount of work. Machines, like I said, it takes someone to program software. Whatever that person wants to put in that software is going to get put mm-hmm. in that software, and it's going to do that. It's just like telling anything to Alexa. It's like telling Alexa to do something, mm-hmm. and she's going to do it. We should never have computers involved in counting ballots, never. In the adjudication process, that's a nightmare too. That was a nightmare at the TCF Center. That's supposed to be a Republican, a Democrat, and a bipartisan person. They're judging a ballot trying to determine what the voter intended to vote. But at the TCF center, it was, like I said, it was just a chaotic mess. And these people were, there was two Democrats sitting there judging these ballots. There was never a Republican present ever, or a bipartisan person. I never saw that there. It was just, they ran the whole place however they felt like running it. It was crazy, you know? So yeah, we have to go back to hand counting ballots. We have to get rid of the machines in general, you know? If it wasn't Dominion, it would be a different company. You know, the machines have got to go. They have got to go. There's no reason for that. We've been doing this for years without machines. Mm-hmm. It's happened. So we can do it. We can do it.
Well, they say it's too complicated and the process would take too long. But the fact is they were counting ballots 4 and 5 days after the election. As a matter of fact, now it appears that New York State, they've got a close election there for one of the districts, and they've been recounting the ballots there up to, till today. It's 3 months after the election.
Right. So that, and now look at what all the trouble these machines have caused us. So the election was in November, the beginning of November. Now here we are in February, and we still are trying to figure out what these machines did. We just got the information of what these machines did. I mean, the absolute proof of what these machines did. We just got it. America just got it. Why wouldn't somebody want to hand count the ballots? I mean, I understand it may take a little longer, but it's definitely not going to take months like it has with this election, you know? And yeah, they just threw Joe Biden in there. I mean, Joe Biden should not be there. He did not win. Joe Biden, and there's proof of this, that I'd say 30% of the votes is high for him. He did not get that. We have a president running our country right now that is being paid by China, that he definitely doesn't care about America or Americans. He doesn't care what happens to us. He doesn't care, you know, if we're employed. He doesn't care about anything. Look at what his son is doing and what his son has done. His son is in the Oval Office. We have Hunter Biden in the Oval Office of the White House. This is a complete pervert drug addict. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I couldn't agree more. But one of the things, and I want to stay on point here. You worked with Mike Lindell and this whole program that he put together. We've played it numerous times. I'm a personal friend of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. In fact, they're going to be on the program on Tuesday. I've worked with Dr. Shiva. He's been on my program before. Okay. Terry Turchie is going to be on next Sunday on the program. So I know a lot of the people that were part of the interview process that created the movie. And so I want you to talk a little bit about your experience of working with that group and how you happened to be selected to be part of that group.
Okay. So yes, Dan, I got a call literally the day before. So he came and picked us up. So he sent his private plane to come and pick us up on a Friday, this past Friday. Mm-hmm. And he called me Thursday night, Mike Lindell, and he was on the phone with him and Mary. And they literally said to me, I was terrified. I didn't know where I was going or what was going on. And they didn't tell me. They just said, be at the airport tomorrow at 7:45 a.m. And I said, okay. And they told me Patrick Colbeck was going to be there from Michigan. I know Patrick Colbeck. I've been working with him since the end of the election on the election fraud. Well, I called Patrick and I figured, you know, I'll just tell them, okay, and I'll call Patrick and see what's going on. You know, he'll know. So I called him and he says, you know, Melissa, just be at the airport. And I said, are you sure we're going to be safe? Are you sure that this is okay? And he said, Yes, it's fine. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So I found babysitters for my kids and got dropped off at the airport. It was so cool. He sent his private plane there. Matt DiPernio was on the plane when Patrick and I arrived. We got on the plane together. Jovan Pulitzer, I'm not sure if you've ever met him. That guy's a genius. Mm. Oh, he's the one who hacked into the Dominion machines in real time at the Georgia Senate hearing. Yeah, he came and he was, I don't know why he wasn't in the documentary, but I think he's going to come out with something separate with him because that guy can talk for hours.
Yeah, but, I've seen him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was great. We had a great time working together and, you know, we filmed this documentary, in somebody's house studio because we could not, nobody else would do it. And, we wanted to keep this private. So we filmed it and we all just really kept our mouths shut and, you know, until it came out and we had a couple issues with social media, people saying things that they shouldn't, and me being one of them, you know, I didn't know that what I was saying was going to be, you know, was going to be hurtful or anything, but I got it off right away. And, you know, working with them was just such a pleasure. And, you know, Mike Lindell is such a religious man and he is so thankful and grateful for all of us just to be there. And he did everything for us. I did not spend a single penny on that trip. He paid for everything for us all. It was great. It was so fun. It was so fun to get to know all these people. Mary Fanning, she's great. She's so sweet. And, you know, I'm so blessed because I always say, you know, even though this is a tragic time and, you know, that I've worked so hard on this, this election and exposing this fraud since the election, and I've had such a hard time getting employment and everything, you know, with this is just a nightmare. I've been blessed with meeting the best people I've ever met along the way. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for that. And I would have never had a chance to meet these people. And it's really given me a great opportunities. And I'm very thankful for that. Yes.
Well, you know, in that regard, I think it's very important for Americans and people who are true American patriots and conservatives, you know, we're red, white, and blue. Those people need to step up and provide opportunities and to provide help to the whistleblowers when they need it. Because, you know, quite honestly, you've stuck your neck out about as far as a human being could possibly stick your neck. And we need to make sure that we honor that and understand that and how important that is to keep our constitutional republic free. I won't call us a democracy because we're not. We're a republic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, I have a website that people have donated a lot of money to help me. And I'm so thankful for that too. And I will send you that website. And I'll also send you my website for my campaign. But yes, people have really helped out a lot. And I'm very thankful for that too.
Okay. Melissa, if you'll put that, just type that in the chat line. If sure. you'll type that website in, we'll put it up on screen. And that way people can help you with your campaign. And if they can help you as far as finding employment or anything like that, they'll do that. So if you'll type that in the chat line, Thumper will get it up on air.
Yes, I'll do that. Do you want me to do that right now?
Yeah, whenever it's convenient for you.
Okay. I might go away for a second.
Well, that's okay. I'll go ahead and try to pick up Mary Fanning. Mary Fanning is absolutely one of the most amazing researchers in the world. And I know that Mary worked very, very hard on this program. Got to know Mary and Alan while you were working on the program.
So Mary actually did not come to the actual meeting, but she was on the phone with us the whole time. Mm-hmm. She was because I really don't know. I don't know if that's her regular or that she doesn't come to anything, but I've only talked to her on the phone. So
yeah.
I honestly think that she's had a lot of, and she has said this, she's had a lot of threats. Mm-hmm. And that's, It's not unbelievable. It's happened to me, and it's happened. I'm sure it happens to you, but
It does happen to us, Melissa, and I can attest to that. Mary and Alan, when they come on the program, and they've been on a number of times, they always do it via phone, and it's without any video because they, you know, they need to protect their identities just to keep people from harassing them and their families. Although I can tell you, Mary has actually had a helicopter hovering over her house in the middle of daylight, in the middle of broad daylight, right after they came out with the expose on the Hammer, the program that the CIA had created for surveillance that was used against the American people.
Wow. That's scary. This world is coming to, it's so scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why it's so important that we protect our whistleblowers. You know, it's just something that you need to have protection when you try to do the right thing. And so does everybody else that's involved in this movement.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I really have, you know, with my kids, I've kept my kids' school very private. I've kept our address very private. I will say that Dominion, when they sent me the lawsuit paperwork, the cease and desist letter from their lawyers, they actually doxed me and put my real address out to the public. I had people knocking at my door on Christmas Eve for days. Yes, it was terrible, but that's the only time that's ever happened to me, and it only went on for maybe a week, but thank God nothing terrible happened.
Well, you know, I think we need to fight back, and obviously they've used intimidation as a way to silence us. And some of us, they don't do a very good job. And quite honestly, if they did try to do too good a job, they probably would regret it. But anyway, we won't even go there. But anyway, I want you to tell our listeners about everything that you observed. We've only gotten into part of it, but everything that you observed during the entire 27-hour period that you were working at that center.
Sure. So I'll start with when I got there. I got there at 6 o'clock in the morning on November 3rd. I will also say this, my training with Dominion was a 1-hour training session, and that was at a different location. That was at their hotel that Dominion was staying at, and that's in the city of Allen Park, and that's in Michigan. And I also recorded that whole training session. I have an audio recording of it, and you can find that on Patrick Kolbeck's website if you go to letsfixstuff.org. That Dominion audio recording is on his website. But so I got to work. Yeah, I got to work at 6 a.m. on November 3rd. And when I got there, everything looked normal. Everything looked normal. I did notice when I got there that there was not an equal amount of Republican poll watchers as there was Democrat poll watchers. And this is the first election that I've ever worked. So I will say that I was looking around trying to figure out who the Democrats were and who the Republicans were. But as I was looking, I realized that maybe 3 hours into my shift, I finally saw a GOP on somebody's tag. And I was like, wow, okay, so here we go. This is one Republican. But I could not find them through the 27 hours. I only saw a handful of Republicans. And that was a huge problem at the TCF Center, a huge problem. That's the reason. Another reason why I never came back is because it was getting so rowdy in there. And these Republicans were demanding to come in. But so not only did I see these people running these ballots or these batches of ballots through these tabulators several times without discarding them before. Mm-hmm. So counting all these ballots several times, 8-9 times, I saw the ballots going over to the adjudication process. So only 1% of ballots are supposed to be going to the adjudication process. These are only ballots that cannot be read by the machine. If somebody puts a mark across the ballot or their pen slides, or maybe they spilled something on the ballot, something's wrong with the ballot and the machine won't take it. So it goes over to the adjudication process, in which I explained, you know, these are a Democrat, a Republican, and a bipartisan person judging what the voter intended to vote. And that did not happen at the TCF Center again. That did not happen. Let me say this. The whole time, the 27 hours I was at the TCF Center, I did not see a single ballot, not one single ballot for Donald Trump. Not one. I was allowed to be very close to these workers because I was an IT worker. So everybody else had the 6-foot rule, you know, because of COVID, but I didn't. So another thing about the TCF Center is you'll hear the CEO of Dominion say in his Senate hearing that these steel ballot boxes were under the tabulators. Mm-hmm. If they were under the tabulators, then that wouldn't allow the workers to have run them through these machines several times. They would have dropped into these steel ballot boxes. At the TCF Center, like I said, anything went there. So the steel ballot boxes were behind the actual workers. So open, and that's another security problem. Mm-hmm. So being that they were behind the workers, this gave these workers the ability to keep running these ballots through several times. So around midnight, I said in that testimony around 3, I was confused, but it was more like around midnight. Samuel and Nick were saying that there was a big data loss on the stage, the main stage in the TCF Center. That would be like all the Dominion workers and all the big city officials were on that stage, nobody else. So when they were saying that this data loss had occurred around midnight, I asked them what was going on because they all stepped off on their phones and they were just freaking out. And I said, "What's going on?" And Nick said, "Oh, nothing. We took care of it." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "No, there was just a big data loss, but we took care of it." So like I said, this was not a data loss. This is when they found out that Trump was ahead 140,000 votes and they didn't know what to do. So they freaked out. Nick sent Samuel to the Chicago warehouse to assist with filling out ballots. He left. Now, he came back about 3 hours later. He came back around 3 a.m. Then here comes that truck pulling in around 4:30 a.m., around 4:30, full of ballots. You know, I didn't see the ballots in the truck. I only saw the front of the truck. But we had several whistleblowers saying that they, and witnesses saying that they did see the ballots coming out of the truck. Yes, now they have the video footage of the ballots being brought in out of the truck. We were not allowed to wear any kind of name badges or show who we were working for. They did not want any attention being drawn to Dominion at all. I do have a picture of that Danielle that I was talking about that I worked with. Her real name is China. She told me that later in the night. She said she goes by her name is China Danielle. But she said she goes by her middle name because she could not get employment with the name China until she started going by her middle name. So anyways, I have a picture of her on my phone and she has the name badge around her neck. But something happened in the middle of the night when Patrick Colbeck came up to Nick, my manager that happens to be part owner, and he said, "These machines are connected to the internet." And Nick said, "No, they're not." And Patrick said, "Well, prove it. Prove that they're not." He said, "All you have to do is take your mouse on your computer, on one of the computers, and put it over that little sign on the bottom right-hand corner of the screen that shows that there's a signal, you know, Wi-Fi signal, and let's see what comes up. And Nick refused to do it. He said, no, I'm not doing it. And Patrick said, well, I don't believe you. He said, they're connected to the internet. And Nick said, I don't care if you believe me or not. And that was that. Nobody, that was it. And I had not known Patrick Colbeck before that, but, at that time I had not known him, but later something kept telling me, I remember, to say something to him. And I was wondering when I was working, can I trust him if I say something to him? Because none of the workers that I worked with, none of the Dominion people knew I was a Republican, because they were saying terrible things about Republicans. Anybody that had an American flag on, or anybody that, a lot of people were wearing American flag masks. They would be, not a lot. It was just seen. So Danielle kept saying that China kept saying, oh, all everybody that's wearing an American flag, those are Trump supporters. And she was saying terrible things about Trump supporters and Republicans. And I was thinking, what do you mean? What makes an American flag a Republican thing, you know? And then I was thinking, oh, well, you know what? They hate America. So that's why, you know, and, the more stuff that was being said about, Republicans, I kind of just backed down thinking, my gosh, I have to walk to my car after this, you know, and I'm not walking to my car by myself, you know, if with these people hating Trump and hating Republicans, you know, I have a family at home. It was terrifying because, you know, here I am in the middle of Detroit, and that's an area obviously that I don't hang out in. And, you know, it was just very scary. But, you know, like I said, all I saw at that TCF center was fraud. Everything I saw was fraud. They even had a table full of blank ballots that these workers were just going up to and grabbing them whenever they wanted to and filling them out. I've never seen anything like it.
Really? See, now this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing I want you to talk about. I'm really glad that we got into this discussion because you're bringing out things that wasn't really in the original testimony, but they're very important to our viewers and to our listeners to hear. So I'm sorry I interrupted, but go ahead and finish with that.
Yeah, so this happened during shift change. Shift change was 7 o'clock, and it took them 2 hours to do a shift change because they were so... it was just, like I said, chaotic. Anything went in that place. And another thing that happened was that they were allowing people to come and go into the counting room as they pleased. That is illegal. You cannot do that. You can't step outside for a minute and come back. That is not, you cannot do that in a counting room when they're counting ballots, because anybody can be bringing things in or anybody can be taking things out, and that's illegal. But there was a white table full of ballots, full of blank ballots, stacks of blank ballots, stacks. And these workers would constantly be coming up to me and say, they would say, where's the duplicate ballots? And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about, because I didn't. I had no idea what they were talking about. I did not know anything about where anything was, you know, like that. I don't know. And this lady came up to me and she said, just when anybody asks you about duplicate ballots, tell them they're over on that white table. So I just started pointing at the white table. They're over at their white table. They're over at the white table. Well, come to find out, these people are actually filling out ballots. These people are filling out ballots as they pleased. If they couldn't, if they had a ballot that should have been sent to the adjudication process, it should have been sent to the adjudication process. But instead of doing that, they were just filling these out to any way they wanted to.
Wow. Now, you know, you mentioned the adjudication process. Wouldn't it make sense, and you know how the system was working, wouldn't it have made sense that when they had one of these paper jams, one of these ballots jam that stopped the whole process, that they would take that ballot out and set it aside for the adjudication process and continue to run the rest of the pile, not rerun the pile, the rest of the pile through the machine, and that would be the way that legitimate ballots were counted. Wouldn't that be the way to do it?
That would be the way that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. But no. So yeah, like again, in Detroit, anything went in there and they just did whatever they wanted to do. So yeah, that ballot, yeah, should have been taken out and sent to the adjudication process. And then they should have counted the remainder of what they had not counted mm-hmm. yet. But that is, yeah, they don't, nothing, like I said, nothing was went the way it was supposed to go in there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say that whole, everybody in there was in on this. 99% of those people were in on this. You know, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt and I like to trust people, but I'll tell you right now, through all this that has gone on for months now since this election and the way I've been treated and the things that have been said to me that are completely, I mean, just terrible. You know, I would never, ever treat someone like that. And just like you said, we don't do that to people. We don't have Republican people do not just, you know, they just, I mean, we can't talk for everybody. There's bad eggs everywhere, but you know, we don't do that to people. And these Democrats are known just to rip people apart. And they have, and you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But when I said that there was nothing but fraud going on in that place, I mean it. There was nothing but fraud going on in that place. Nothing. That's it. That's all that mm-hmm. was going on.
Well, you mentioned the fact that the Republicans were trying to get in to be part of the observation of the whole counting process, but yet they were being kept outside. They weren't allowed to be in the process, but yet a lot of the people who were there, who were Democrats, were literally stepping in and out of the counting room on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your observation of how the Republicans that did want to observe the whole system were kept out of the process. Did you see any of that personally?
I did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was walking out, like I said, to leave, I went home around 5:30 a.m. on the 4th to go get some sleep. I came back around 10 a.m. and worked until about 2 on the 4th, 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, when I left around 5:30 a.m., there were Republicans trying to get in. There were police everywhere. They treated these Republican poll watchers as if they were not even human, as if they were actually like animals. And I'm not kidding. When these people would question anything, they would act like they just threatened their life. And that actually happened to one of my good friends, Chris Shornack, who was there. It's actually, he's great, good friends with Patrick Colbeck too. He said that he said to one of the workers there, he said, you're taking away my Second Amendment, right? Actually meant to say first. And the girl goes, oh my gosh, he just threatened to shoot me. And they would, every time that these poll watchers, these Republican poll watchers would get close to these workers, they would say, you're threatening my life for COVID. You're trying to give me COVID. But the Democrats, these people were right up on these, next to these machines. They could get as close as they wanted to get. It was terrible how these people were being treated. But when I left at 2 o'clock, around 2 o'clock PM on the 4th, and I left finally, never came back. It was getting very rowdy. And when I walked out the doors, there was Republicans screaming, yelling, saying, you know, you don't have any Republicans in there. This is illegal. You have to let us in. And I literally just walked past all of them and went to my car because I was just so scared of what was going on in there. And, I was going to come back. I had to go to a doctor's appointment. I was going to come back, but I got a text on my phone from Samuel, the one that got sent to the Chicago warehouse, saying, we are done counting. We don't need you to come back. Now, this was on the 4th at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. So they were not done counting. They counted for about at least 24 more hours in Detroit. And I actually went down to the Stop the Count rally in front of the TCF Center after that, because I knew that they were lying and I knew that something was going on in there, because that's when they started putting up the boards on the windows and all of that right after I left.
Well, they probably probably figured out that you were not necessarily politically neutral. And, you know, that would make a certain amount of sense. Talk a little bit about the internet connectivity. That I hadn't heard that part of any testimony that you did before. Talk a little bit about that, because that's huge, because that is something that we're finding out nationwide, that most of these Dominion machines were actually connected to the internet.
Yeah. Okay. So what Dominion does is to keep off the radar is they connect to the internet and then they disconnect. So they're only connecting for a couple minutes to see where the votes are, and then they disconnect. Okay. So, and that keeps them a little under the radar, so they're not constantly connected. But in different states, I heard different testimonies of people actually pulling up Netflix, challengers, but the city workers, and watching movies during their shift. That tells you right there, that's common sense, that they were connected to the internet. You can't watch a movie if it's not connected to the internet unless it's downloaded on your device, but they weren't. So I noticed that in the lower right-hand corner of the monitors that were in front of the tabulators, of the people working on the tabulators, they did have a signal that they were connected to the internet. I didn't even think about it. Later on, I opened up the binder that was given to me when I was hired by Dominion that explains all their software. And I noticed that it explains in the binder how to connect their hardware to the internet. So when Patrick Colbeck questioned my manager, Nick, about being connected to the internet, I started catching on that he knew these were connected to the internet, that this must be illegal, because I had no idea what, if it was, like I said, I had never worked an election before that. So as he was talking to Nick and Nick was denying the fact that they were online, I'm thinking, they are online, because I just saw the connection, you know. And then later on, Patrick Colbeck brought up, he literally, I don't know why I didn't think of doing this, but he just went on his phone and he opened up his Wi-Fi to see what Wi-Fi networks were available in the TCF center. And he took a screenshot and there was like four or five of them open. And that's one of the Wi-Fi networks they were connected to. And these machines were connected to the internet all night long. And then in the brochure that I have too, that was given to me by Dominion, it says, and we were not allowed to touch any of the hardware at all. And when I think about it, now this is the reason why, because these tabulating machines have modems in them. So they didn't want us touching these machines and accidentally opening a tabulator in front of everyone and everyone seeing a modem in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why we were not supposed to touch anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. It really does. Thumper, can we put up on screen Melissa's website that she, melissa.carone@usa.com. We want to make
sure.
That's
my email.
Oh, that's your email. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get the websites up so that we can show where people can contribute to your website, to your campaign, and also maybe help you.
Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate that.
Well, we've got to do that. You know, whistleblowers have got to be protected. There's no question about that. And the thing is, we've got a real deficit here, because the other side, the communists, the Marxists, the people who want to destroy this country will do anything, and I mean anything, to promote their point of view. And most conservatives are a lot more, let's say, charitable to the opposite side. They're not charitable to us. We need to be charitable to the people who are supporting our cause, and so, and to help you. Now, is there anything else that you'd like to get into as far as your observations and things that you feel, not necessarily that you saw, but that you feel was happening during that whole process, and anything else that you physically saw that we haven't covered already?
Sure, Dan. So I just want to make everybody know, I want everybody to know how important this is. So I don't think I said this earlier, but I was initially scheduled to work at the Detroit Department of Election Center, and that's what's on my hiring paperwork from Dominion. I was trained in the adjudication and tabulation process. That is in adjudicators at the Detroit Department of Election Center. I also have a lot of pictures from all the people that I've met throughout this, working on this election, that people that were sitting outside of that Detroit Department of Election Center, that Chicago warehouse, and taking pictures of people carrying ballots and boxes of ballots out of that place. This is a huge concern. And we are, in here in Michigan, we are actually having just regular people like myself and a couple others investigating this right now by ourselves. And, you know, we need help. We need help. We have to find what was going on in that place and see what was going on. Because like I said, I was trained on the adjudication tabulation process. And I believe 100% that there were tabulators in the Chicago warehouse where they were filling out those ballots. Mm-hmm. And that's where those ballots came from. That's where, you know, the truck full of ballots that came pulling in the TCF center at 4:30 in the morning, that truck came from the Detroit Department of Election Center. And, you know, to have tabulators there and adjudication machines there, that's highly illegal. You have to have poll watchers anywhere that you're counting ballots. And they didn't. They wouldn't have had them there. That's highly illegal. I mean, this is something that everybody should be concerned with and, you know, trying to help out with if you can, you know. And we really need some help with looking into this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any help from any sort of legal help to maybe fend off some of the challenges against your integrity?
You know, to be honest with you, Dan, I have had a lot of help. Rudy Giuliani, I talk to him almost every day. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important because if Rudy Giuliani, with his record as a criminal prosecutor and mayor of New York, if his record to stem some of the lawlessness and some of the criminality in New York, and he has got an excellent record in that regard, isn't enough to give him credibility. The fact that they've attacked him the way they have, the rest of us mortals, we're in serious jeopardy. If they can attack someone who has his record as a criminal prosecutor and someone who has done a great deal of good, if they can attack him, they can attack any of us.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that you're having some support and some help. Thumper, we'll keep this. Let's keep this site up for at least for another couple of minutes and see if we can get people that are willing to help Melissa with her program. Is this the same one that you are using for your election to the legislature?
No, so that's not. There's so Vote Carone, Vote Carone .com is where I'm having people donate for my campaign right now.
Okay, and you've got an actual website there?
It's just a donation site right now, but my campaign manager is working on an actual website right now.
Okay.
And I have filed and I've done all that too.
Okay, good. Well, I, you know, I think it's going to be important to expose as much of this as we can over the next couple of weeks, because if, you know, the American, I hate to say it, but the American people have an incredibly short attention span. They have an attention span like a mite, you know, 20-second attention spans. And we need to keep this in front of the American public. We need to we need to expose this, and anything we can do to spread the word on this video needs to be brought forward too. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we just got to keep pushing it. And, you know, if we could, I would love to get people together to have some kind of a rally or do something like that. You know, that would be great. And I'm working on that right now.
Okay. Well, the movie is called, the documentary movie is called Absolute Proof. And it is, I think, in a lot of places on the internet right now. However, they are in the process of trying to shut some of those down. And so we need to make sure that while we still have the avenues to do it, that we're spreading this message all over the country. And have you heard anything, and maybe this is unfair to ask, but have you heard anything about any other efforts to make this program continue and make this evidence available to more and more people?
You know, I haven't heard anything yet, but honestly, I think that that Mike Lindell has to be doing something with Jovan Pulitzer, because Jovan Pulitzer, like I said, he can talk for hours, and he wasn't in this last documentary. So I do believe that he has something coming out with him, because that guy has so much proof, and he is just unbelievably smart. This guy's a genius. And the stuff that he was talking about, just with the paper ballots alone, with being able to tell if they were printed off your house computer printer or where they were supposed to be printed. This guy looks into paper and literally can tell you exactly where that piece of paper came from. And he said so many of our ballots, millions of our ballots, he said, were fake. You know, we're printed off of the wrong printers, house printers, people's house printers.
Well, we keep hearing about the fact that literally plane loads of ballots were brought in from other areas, other sources. We also heard the testimony of the gentleman who worked for the USPS as a driver transporting mail from New York to Pennsylvania, and that he brought an entire trailer load of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania.
Which is illegal.
Which is illegal, the day of the election, and you're totally illegal. So there's just too many discrepancies here. And I guess what we need to do is we need to expose the fact that these discrepancies are in existence, and that we need a complete and open and honest review of this whole election process. There are too many people in the United States who question this process. Right now, according to the information that I've seen, nearly half of the American people believe that the election was stolen. Mm-hmm. And if there are nearly half that are admitted, it's probably more than half. And
that's right.
So, you know, something that big, we need to look at it. We need to understand it. And the only way to do that is to open it up for public scrutiny.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, they've had this pushed back so far to where, like I said, we could not get our hands on anything. We could not get our hands on the video footage from Detroit. We could not get our hands on, you know, things that we should have been able to have access to. But now that the election, you know, that the inauguration has already happened, and, you know, they say that you can't inaugurate a different president or, you know, take a president out if one has already been inaugurated. Well, you know, there are different laws and there are things, there's ways around things. And, you know, when you can prove the fraud, then I believe that I've heard there is a federal law. If you can flip states and you have the proof, then, you know, we'll see, because I know that there's a lot happening, February 19th, you know, with a couple of the states.
Well, we've got, obviously we've got a lot of issues here, and we know that, there is a lot of question of what happened during this whole election process. And, at this point, I think we have an obligation to the American people to do whatever's necessary to have a full and open and complete review. And we need to find out if, in fact, I believe there are processes in place that if we will spend the time and the effort and the money that's necessary to do it, that we have the ability to do a complete review of this election and come up with honest. And if Joe Biden is the honest winner of that, I would be the first to say, let's give him the accolades that he's due.
Absolutely, absolutely. If he won this election fairly, mm-hmm. then he deserves to be the president. And mm-hmm. you know, that would be a completely different story. But that's not what happened. That's not mm-hmm. what happened.
Well, I have to tell you, Melissa, it's been a great pleasure to meet you, young lady. And I thank you for having the guts to stand up. I wish more people in this country did. But I thank you for doing that. And I hope that we speak in the future. I'd love to try to help you with your campaign when you run the state legislature.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to talking with you again on another program of Connecting the Dots. So.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me on.
All righty.
It was nice meeting you.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is something we need to get before the American people. And I just, again, I thank you for having the guts to get on air and talk about it, because a lot of people don't. They don't have the guts to do that.
Oh, I'll be doing it every day until something's done. Believe me.
Okay. And Melissa, for all of us here at Patriot Soapbox, we certainly appreciate it. And you hang in there, all right?
Thank you. You're doing an awesome job.
And it's got to be tough, but, you know, well worth, I think, the effort that when it's all said and done. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again, and we'll be talking soon. And I'll talk to you offline sometime, and we will get a chance to maybe get some other shows lined up. I do another program with Dr. Alan Keyes, and I think that might be a good venue for you.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, call me or text me anytime.
All right. Thank you very much. Well,
thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. I thank you, folks, for joining us for Connecting the Dots. Patrick, I'm sorry I ran just a few minutes over, but Patrick Howley is going to be following me here, and I look forward to seeing his program.
Should be. I'm here to pick up until he arrives, hopefully in a few. So.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. How are you guys doing tonight? How are we doing?
Great, Pam. I hope we brought you a very good program today.
You did, yeah.
We've got Mary Fanning and Alan Jones are going to be coming back on Tuesday morning, and we're going to go through the review of the China flipping process. They've got the computer reports. They've got all the documentation that shows exactly how that process worked.
Oh, good. Yeah, I love them. They're always good. Yes, Mary Fanning. That's good. That's awesome. She's wasn't she? Isn't that who was mentioned in the documentary by Mike Lindell?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, she did a lot of the research that they used to show how the votes were flipped and how that was being done from China and Italy and all over the world.
That stuff is really well put together.
Oh, yeah. And she's going to, that's exactly what they're going to be bringing to the program on Tuesday. God. So
good. Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, and I'm working on trying to get Mike Lindell on another program as well. I've got next week, since I've got a chance to plug it a little bit, I've got a gentleman who I just recently met through Mary Fanning, Terry Turchi, and Terry was the head of the counterterrorism unit for the FBI.